It's time for Area Voices, where we hear the arts, culture, and history stories of Northern Minnesota. And yesterday, Sheila Smith, the Executive Director of Minnesota Citizens for the Arts, revealed the results of a study that measured the economic impact the arts have on the Iron Range. And Sheila Smith, she joins us now. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning.
So before we get to the results of the study, tell us a little bit about what the Minnesota Citizens for the Arts is all about.
MCA is a statewide arts advocacy group. We work together in community organizing and lobbying the legislature to support nonprofit arts and culture organizations and artists. And we worked with the outdoors folks in 2008 to pass the Legacy Amendment.
And we all know about the Legacy Amendment, my goodness, especially here at Northern Community Radio.
Yeah. You guys up there on the range have benefited a lot from all of the four funds that were created. It supports land, water, parks, and art.
So when you lobby, is it a hard sell these days?
Well, I don't know if it's so much as a hard sell, but, you know, you get a lot of new legislators, and you kind of have to educate people from scratch about the importance of the arts and the outdoors to Minnesotans. Not everybody is connected to an arts organization or artist, so I see a bit more of an educational process. Minnesotans support and participate in the arts more than people from other states. I think it's one of the reasons that there was such a high level of support for the Legacy Amendment in Minnesota, in the same way that Minnesotans are super supportive of the environment here, the environment and outdoors activities, hunting, fishing, angling, the whole deal. It's part of kind of who we are as a state, and it's one of the things that makes us better than everyone else, obviously.
So let's just cut to the chase. So what kind of economic impact are the arts having on the Iron Range?
Well, it was really interesting. We did 15 studies this year, and this study of the Iron Range was one of those 15. Of the 15 studies, we found $12.3 million in economic impact just from the nonprofit arts and culture organizations in the Iron Range. That made the Iron Range number one of the 15 study areas in terms of the size of the economic impact. So that was really impressive, even though the range was fourth in population amongst the areas studied. So the range is doing really well in terms of offering arts and culture experiences to residents and particularly to kids. We found quite a lot of kids being supported, kids being getting access to arts and culture experiences through the nonprofit arts and culture organizations. Nearly 40,000 students are served every year. We also found nearly 3,300 artists and creative workers in the three counties that the study covered. And that's a lot of artists making their livings, as the most common arts and culture job in the Iron Range, as well as the rest of the state, is photographer. And I found that kind of surprising. Then I thought, well, you know, you have wedding photographers, you have people taking photographs for advertisements, there's a lot of visual content on the web. And the more I thought about it, the more it made sense that we have so many photographers in Minnesota. You have 57 nonprofit arts and culture organizations in the Iron Range. And one of the interesting wrinkles about how the community looks from somebody who lives outside of the range is that you have a lot of historical societies and museums, because your history is so important to residents that they've banded together and created all kinds of really interesting and really good nonprofit history organizations on the range. And that's a profile that looks different from most of the rest of the state.
So tell us about the process. How are these results determined? Are we doing interviews, surveys?
Well, in terms of the nonprofit arts and culture organizations, we did two things. We collected data from every organization. So what was their total budget? What are they spending in town? And how many people are they serving? Then we did a huge audience survey. So we got people to fill out a survey at events, and they were rewarded with a piece of chocolate if they turned it back, which helped our response rate a lot. And we asked them things like, what's the zip code of your hometown? So we could figure out if they were locals or non-locals. That was another interesting wrinkle of the Iron Range, that you had amongst the highest percentage of attendees who didn't come from the range. 25% of your audiences are coming not just from outside the county, but from outside the Arrowhead completely. So it's pretty clear that the nonprofit arts and culture organizations are a big part of your tourism sector. They're supporting activities for people from coming out of town. We've learned that people will travel up to 2 hours for an entertainment event in Greater Minnesota. So that means people are coming in and spending money in town, just like they are when they're, you know, coming in for the trails or for hunting, spending money in town at the hotels and the restaurants and buying gas and that kinds of thing. So it's good for the overall economy to have these nonprofit arts and culture organizations as draws to the community.
We've been talking to Sheila Smith. She's the executive director of the Minnesota Citizens for the Arts. So how does Minnesota kind of compare to other states in regards to the economy of the arts?
Oh, that's a fun one. Minnesota has twice the arts economy of Wisconsin, which I love because we're always rivals with Wisconsin, right? We have twice the arts economy that they do, even though Minnesota and Wisconsin have roughly the same population of about 5.5 million people. We have 10.5 times the arts economy of Kansas. We have 12.5 times the arts economy of either of the North or South Dakota. So if you're a young creative person and you're looking for a job in a creative industry, clearly Minnesota is the place to be. And it's if you ask around for people who are working in the arts nonprofits, or maybe they're a graphic designer in a for-profit company, or maybe they're an artist selling things on Etsy, you'll very often find that either they or someone they know has moved to Minnesota because of a reputation of being a really good place to be a creative person.
You know, I just think, Sheila, I think that's very interesting, especially the fact that, you know, there's not a lot of arts in schools anymore. So the results of this is amazing to me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting about the schools. There's a lot of schools who are actually not meeting the standards in the arts. The state art standards require that a variety of arts courses, you know, whether it's visual arts or singing or band, be offered to Minnesota students, and that they should be offered to all students in all the schools. And there's a lot of schools who are not up to snuff on that. And it's something, because of local control, basically the best thing that parents can do to make sure that their kids are receiving the art standard required by the state is that they should get vocal in their school about to make sure that their kids get what they're supposed to be getting.
So your career has been built on keeping the arts alive and supported in Minnesota. Why do you think that the arts are such an important element in our society? And a second part to that is, what do you say to someone that disagrees with art being important?
Well, I don't know how you can disagree that art is important. When art is one of those things that bring us together as a people. You know, we live in this incredibly divisive times, where people want to take opposing views and argue with each other all the time. It's exhausting. Whereas the arts are one of those things that bring us together. There have been all these studies, really interesting studies, about when people sing together in a choir, no matter what mood they were in when they were outside of the room, when they come in together and they start singing together, whether it's the national anthem at a ball game or whatever, people's emotions get into sync. And that's it's something, you know, you see singing happening all over the world. All cultures do it. There is something fundamental to the human experience about not just artistic expression, you know, visual arts, but all kinds of arts that bring us together instead of dividing us. And it's something we sure need a lot more of right now.
So anything we might have missed here, Sheila?
Well, I think just in summary, the Iron Range results of this study were really good. I mean, you guys have a lot to offer in terms of the arts and culture. And the fact that you have a pretty sizable contingent of people not from the area coming in to take advantage of the arts experiences offered by the nonprofit arts and culture organizations is food for thought in terms of marketing the offerings that are already being made by the 57 nonprofits in the Iron Range to a wider geography. You can have a bigger economic impact from the arts in thinking about how do we let people know all of the wonderful things that are happening here beyond the borders.
That's Sheila Smith. She's the executive director of Minnesota Citizens for the Arts. More information on the work Minnesota Citizens of the Arts is doing, you can check out their website at artsmn.org. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota. And how do arts lift up the community where you live? You can send along an email to us at comments@kexe.org. It's the Thursday morning show. Up next, we have more from National Public Radio.